1 Samuel chapter 4, verses 1 through 22. This is the reading of God's word. Thus the word of Samuel came to all Israel. Now Israel went out to meet the Philistines in battle and camped outside Ebenezer, while the Philistines camped in Ephek. The Philistines drew up in battle array to meet Israel. When the battle spread, Israel was defeated before the Philistines, who killed about 4,000 men on the battlefield. When the people came into the camp, the elders of Israel said, "Why has the Lord defeated us today before the Philistines? Let us take to ourselves from Shiloh the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, that it may come among us and deliver us from the power of our enemies." So the people sent to Shiloh, and from there they carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of hosts, who sits above the cherubim. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were there with the Ark of the Covenant of God. As the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord came into the camp, all Israel shouted with a great shout, so that the earth resounded. When the Philistines heard the noise of the shout, they said, "What does the noise of this great shout in the camp of the Hebrews mean?" Then they understood that the Ark of the Lord had come into the camp. The Philistines were afraid, for they said, "God has come into the camp." And they said, "Woe to us, for nothing like this has happened before. Woe to us! Who shall deliver us from the hand of these mighty gods? These are the gods who smote the Egyptians with all kinds of plagues in the wilderness. Take courage and be men, O Philistines, or you will become slaves to the Hebrews as they have been slaves to you. Therefore be men and fight." So the Philistines fought, and Israel was defeated, and every man fled to his tent. And the slaughter was very great, for there fell of Israel 30,000 foot soldiers. And the Ark of God was taken, and the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, died. Now a man of Benjamin ran from the battle line and came to Shiloh the same day with his clothes torn and dust on his head. When he came, behold, Eli was sitting on his seat by the road, eagerly watching, because his heart was trembling for the Ark of God. So the man came to tell it in the city, and all the city cried out. When Eli heard the noise of the outcry, he said, "What does the noise of this commotion mean?" Then the man came hurriedly and told Eli. Now Eli was 98 years old, and his eyes were set so that he could not see. The man said to Eli, "I am the one who came from the battle line. Indeed, I escaped from the battle line today." And he said, "How did things go, my son?" Then the one who brought the news replied, "Israel has fled before the Philistines, and there has also been a great slaughter among the people. And your two sons also, Hophni and Phinehas, are dead. And the Ark of God has been taken." When he mentioned the Ark of God, Eli fell off the seat backward beside the gate, and his neck was broken and he died. For he was old and heavy, thus he judged Israel 40 years. Now his daughter-in-law, Phinehas' wife, was pregnant and about to give birth, and when she heard the news that the Ark of God was taken and that her father-in-law and her husband had died, she kneeled down and gave birth, for her pains came upon her. And about the time of her death, the woman who stood by her said to her, "Do not be afraid, for you have given birth to a son." But she did not answer or pay attention. And she called the boy Ichabod, saying, "The glory has departed from Israel, because the Ark of God was taken, and because of her father-in-law and her husband." She said, "The glory has departed." from Israel, for the ark of God was taken. Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, bless the preaching of your word. Be with the person who is preaching so that your word will be preached correctly. And be with all of us, your people, so that we may hear your word and understand and believe and obey. Oh Father, we know that it is only by your word that we will be sanctified and that our faith will grow. Oh Father, let us love your word more and more. And we thank you for your faithfulness in giving us the heavenly manna so that we are able to feed upon your Son, Jesus Christ. So that we may stay healthy spiritually and to live our lives for your glory. Bless us, God, and receive all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In chapter 4, verses 1 through 11, which we saw last time, we saw the Israelites defeated twice by the Philistines. And the ark of God was taken. There we saw God himself is being captured and living the life of a slave in exile. God himself experiences the abandonment of God. And this points to Jesus Christ, who was also captured and taken into captivity and crucified. But it is exactly through being captured and killed, Jesus defeats all of his enemies. And that reality is seen in chapters 4 through 7 in the 1 Samuel, 5 through 7 in the 1 Samuel. The shameful defeat, according to the world, is God's way of accomplishing the true victory. And this is the way of the cross. To the world, it is the shameful defeat. But through that cross, God accomplishes the true victory. And you need to understand this, because this is what the gospel is all about. It is through the cross God accomplishes the eternal victory, eternal salvation for his people. But to Israelites, the defeat was the judgment of God. And that judgment continues from verse 12 all the way to the end of this chapter. From verse 12 through 18, we read about Eli hearing the news of death of his sons and the news of God's ark being taken by the Philistines. And as he hears the news of the ark of God, he fell off the seat backward and his neck broken, and he dies. And in verses 19 through 22, we read about Eli's daughter-in-law, Phinehas' wife. She is pregnant and hears the same news and also the news about the death of her father-in-law. She dies as she gives birth to a son. Now, giving birth to a son, so far in 1 Samuel, giving birth to a son was a happy occasion, but not here. Here, it is the judgment of God. The son is named Ichabod, meaning no glory. The glory of God has departed. God abandons Israel. And that is a picture of hell. The complete forever abandonment of God. Of course, we see that in our passage in the Old Testament as a typological judgment of God. Bible describes the last judgment of God in many ways, and what we see in our passage is also included. Luke chapter 21, verse 23 and 26 through 27. Woe to those who are pregnant and to those who are nursing babies in those days. For there will be great distress upon the land and wrath to this people. Men fainting from fear and the expectation of the things which are coming upon the world. For the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. The judgment of God is frightening and terrifying. And some will even say that God's judgment is too excessive and extreme. So when they read the Old Testament, they say God of the Old Testament is angry God. But they say when you read the New Testament, God of the New Testament is loving God. They don't get it. They just simply don't get it. God of the New Testament is more terrifying. Just wait until he comes back and see or compare that final judgment with any judgment you see in the Old Testament, and you see that it's not what they say. In the Old Testament is angry God, New Testament loving God. No. Some people think God's judgment is too excessive and extreme. When they read the invasion of Jericho, God tells his people to go into Jericho and kill everyone, even babies and women. And they say, oh, how can God say that? I thought God was love. How can God kill those babies and women? Again, they just don't get it. Those babies and those women are sinners who deserve eternal punishment of God. If you think God is too excessive in the Old Testament, what, then you're going to say, how can Jesus do that when he comes back and send all those babies and women to hell? Or are you going to say it's righteous judgment of God? Do you see how it separates true believers from non-believers? Non-believers will complain that God is excessive and God is just too much. But the believers will see all that. We praise God and we will say he is just and righteous in his judgment. We recognize true believers by their confession. Simple as that. And they will tell us what they believe. Only the ones who truly believe and accept that God's judgment is true and just, and God is righteous in judging the sinners in that manner, and the sinners truly deserve the judgment of God, they are the ones who truly understand and believe the gospel of the Bible. The great the sin, the great the punishment. If you understand how great your sin is, then you will understand this excessive judgment of God. But sinners don't get it. They don't think their sin is great. Oh, they sin like as if it's nothing. See, that's why. See, they think they're so good. That's why they read the Bible and look at God in judgment and say he's too extreme. Because they just don't understand how sinful they are and how great the punishment that their sins deserve. They will never get it. They will never admit it. That's why salvation is by grace. God has to pour out grace to you. God has to recreate your heart, give you a new heart, so that with that heart you understand and believe. Otherwise, you will not accept. You will not believe. What do you think, brothers and sisters in Christ? Is God too excessive and extreme? Or you actually believe you deserve worse than that? As we read the rest of the Old Testament, we see Israel divided into two, North Israel and South Judah. And the North is destroyed by the Assyrians, and later the South is destroyed by the Babylonians. All are the pictures of the judgment of God. Now understand that in the Old Testament, even though it is in a typological way, we see God judging the Israel, the covenant people of God. And you have to take this very, very seriously. I have to take this very, very seriously. Israel. Israelites are the covenant people of God. And God is judging Israel. Many people will understand if God judges Gentiles, yeah. But why is God judging his own people, covenant people? Well, because of their sins, because of their unbelief. We need to pay a great attention to this as we see that Israel is being judged here. Because in the New Testament time, today, the covenant people of God is the church. And the church today must take a serious note of what we are reading in this chapter. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11 through 12. Now these things happened to them in the Old Testament as an example. And they were written for our instruction, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed that he does not fall. All of this Old Testament is written for our instruction. God wants us to read it and learn. And of course, we're learning about Jesus Christ, but today, it is connected to his judgment upon his covenant people. Let him who thinks he stands take heed that he does not fall. Jeremiah chapter 3. Chapter 3, verse 8. I saw that for all the adulteries of faithless Israel, I had sent her away and given her a writ of divorce. Yet her treacherous sister Judah did not fear, but she went and was a harlot also. I told you already that Israel later is divided into two countries, Israel at north, Judah at south. So what does God do? First, God destroys north, Israel first. He does that so that south will see that and learn and repent of their sins. But no, Judah did not learn. This is the point. As you see Old Testament Israel being judged, the New Testament church, when we look at that, we need to learn. That's the point. They saw North being destroyed, but South did not learn. They also became harlot, it says. Verse 9, because of the lightness of her harlotry, she polluted the land and committed adulteries with stones and trees. Yet in spite of all this, her treacherous sister Judah did not return to me with all her heart, but rather in deception, declares the Lord. They see northern country Israel being destroyed. Judah looks at that. What must they do? They should have repented of their sins and come back to God, but no. Ezekiel chapter 23. Ezekiel chapter 3. Verse 1. The word of the Lord came to me again, saying, Son of man, there were two women, the daughters of one mother. And they played the harlot in Egypt. They played the harlot in their youth. There their breasts were pressed and their virgin bosom was handled. Their names were Ohola, the elder, and Oholiabah, her sister. And they became mine, and they bore sons and daughters, and as for their names, Samaria is Ohola, and Jerusalem is Oholiabah. These two sisters, they're north and south. Samaria is Israel, and Jerusalem is Judah. God is talking about the same thing we saw in Jeremiah chapter 3. Verse 5, Ohola, north, played the harlot while she was mine, and she lusted after her lovers, after the Assyrians, her neighbors, who were clothed in purple, governors and officers, all of them desirable young men, horsemen riding on horses. She bestowed her harlotry on them, all of whom were the choicest men of Assyria, and with all whom she lusted after, with all their idols she defiled herself. She did not forsake her harlotry from the time in Egypt, for in her youth men had lain with her, and they handled her virgin bosom and poured out their lust on her. Therefore I gave her into the hand of her lovers, into the hand of the Assyrians, after whom she lusted. They uncovered her nakedness, they took her sons and her daughters, but they slew her with the sword. Thus she became a byword among women, and they executed judgment on her. As you know, the north was destroyed by Assyrians. Verse 11, now her sister Oholibah saw this, yet she was more corrupt in her lust than she, and her harlotries were more than the harlotries of her sister. Again, if you keep reading, what's the point? The south, destroyed later, did not learn from what has happened to the north. And we see the same thing today. The covenant people in the New Testament, when we read the Old Testament, see how God judged His covenant people, Israel. Today's church does not learn. As the south, Judah sees the north being destroyed, she should have repented of her sins and trusted more their God, but Judah did not do that. And today, I want you to really learn as you look at the destruction of God's covenant people. What must we learn and do? Romans 11. This is what Paul says now in the New Testament. Romans 11. Verse 20. Quite right, they were broken off for their unbelief. Old Testament Israel was broken off. God destroys them, judges them. So quite right, they were broken off for their unbelief, but you stand by your faith. Do not be conceited, but fear, for if God did not spare the natural branches, He will not spare you either. He is talking to the church. In the Old Testament, the original branch, Israel, if God broke that original branch because of their unbelief and because of their unfaithfulness to the Word of God, church, he says, what makes you think God will not break you also if you don't believe and do not follow the Word of God? But just because you call yourself church, now everything's okay? That's what Israelites thought. They thought God was on their side. Just like today's churches, they think that God is on their side. Is He? And we must ask that same question. Is God on our side? Otherwise, where does your confidence come? We studied the book of Revelation before. And there in chapters 2 and 3, chapters 2 and 3 are about what? There are seven letters of our Lord Jesus Christ to the seven churches. Now, let me remind you, these letters are to the seven churches. He did not write these letters to non-believers, but He wrote these letters to the churches. Covenant people of God, of the New Testament. Now, let's hear what He says to the churches then. Go to Revelation chapter 2. He's saying this to you, brothers and sisters. Chapter 2, verse 4. But I have this against you, that you have left your first love. You know how when they say they come to know Jesus Christ, they were so fervent in their, you know, Christian life, and they love God so much in the beginning. But I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Therefore, remember from where you have fallen, and repent, and do the deeds you did at first, or else I am coming to you and will remove your lampstand out of its place unless you repent. He's talking to the church. Verse 14. But I have a few things against you, because you have there some who hold the teaching of Balaam, who kept teaching Balak to put a stumbling block before the sons of Israel to eat things sacrificed to idols and to commit acts of immorality. So you also have some who in the same way hold the teaching of Nicolaitans. Therefore, repent, or else I am coming to you quickly, and I will make war against them with the sword of my mouth. Some churches are teaching the false doctrines. God says to repent, or else. Verse 20. But I have this against you, that you tolerate the woman Jezebel, who called herself a prophetess, and she teaches and leads my bondservants astray so that they commit acts of immorality and eat things sacrificed to idols. Now, when the Bible says about immorality, don't just think in terms of sexual, physical sexual. Because idolatry, you worshiping the world, money, your business, your job, even your family, more important than God, they're all idols. And idolatry is expressed in the sexual terms. So it's not like, oh, I don't go out physically do this kind of stuff. No, but you are still included if you consider other things more important than God. You are playing harlotry. Verse 21, I gave her time to repent, and she does not want to repent of her immorality. Behold, I will throw her on a bed of sickness, and those who commit adultery with her into great tribulation, unless they repent of her deeds. And I will kill her children with pestilence, and all the churches will know that I am he who searches the minds of hearts, and I will give to each one of you according to your deeds. Again, remember, he's talking to the church. Chapter 3, verse 15. I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish that you were cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spit you out of my mouth. He's again talking to the church. So because you are lukewarm, because you say I am rich, and have become wealthy, and have need of nothing, and you do not know that you were wretched, and miserable, and poor, and blind, and naked, I advise you to buy from me gold refined by fire, so that you may become rich. Yeah, some Christians, so-called Christians, they say, oh, God loves me. He blesses me. With all these things, I'm so rich. just don't get it. They don't learn. Do you understand? God will judge the church. In the church, there are many fake ones. Unless the church repents and comes back to the faithful living by the word, do not think church is excluded from the judgment of God. That would be a big mistake. Oh, if you're a true Christian, yes, then there is no judgment for you. But how can you be so sure that you are a true Christian? And I will give you an answer to that. You will repent and you will come back to God. Otherwise, I don't know where you get your confidence that you're a true Christian. The true believers will repent of their sins. Period. That's it. There's no buts or whatever. And if you do not repent of your sins or sinful life that you live, what confidence do you have that you are a true Christian? You confess Jesus Christ, you believe in Him, then you will repent of your sins. Period. Christian life is a life of repentance. And without repentance, no one is able to have confidence. How can we be certain that we are not the ones who will be judged by God? Repent and believe. It's not okay to live in a sinful way. Just keep living that same sinful life without repentance, without turning around. Brothers and sisters, it is not okay. The Bible is not about giving you false confidence. If God truly lives in you, He will convict of your sins. He will. And cause you to repent. And cause you to believe. Because God is so effective in His work. Repent and believe. Otherwise, there is no certainty. There is no confidence. The Israelites also thought that God is always on their side. But that was misunderstanding. What was the sin of Israel that we see in 1 Samuel chapters 1 through 4? What was sins of Israel that they did not repent of? First, they honored themselves above God. God says to Eli, you honor your sons above me. They honor themselves above God. Second, they took what belongs to God. Third, they ignore the word of God. They didn't care what the Bible says. Fourth, they trusted in their power and ability rather than God. And most importantly, five, they defile the worship of God. They didn't think too much of worship of God. And they defiled it. They did not repent. They continue on their sinful ways. And how are these things so true even today in so many churches? It's all about honoring people more than God. It's all about what people want. You know, you do what people like and more people will come. It's all about pleasing people rather than God. And they ignore God's word. They don't care what the Bible says. They have no desire to follow what the Bible says. And they make worship of God into worshiping people. It's all about how we are going to feel good as we worship. And they defile the worship of God by bringing their own righteousness. They think they're so good that God has to bless them. Are we any different? Are you any different? Well, if you're honest, and I'm trying to be honest as possible, we have to admit we are as guilty as they are. It's just in degrees. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, we must repent. And we must trust our Lord Jesus Christ more and more. We must live by faith. And whenever we sin, we must repent. Otherwise, we live like the ones who will be judged by God. Believe. Live by faith. Otherwise, you will be judged according to your works. And when that happens, you will be judged by God. You and I, we live by faith, and when we sin, we repent. It's only by faith in Jesus Christ. 1 John 5, verse 4 and 5, "For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is the one who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is Son of God?" And we must love one another. Galatians chapter 5, verse 14 through 15. "For the whole law is fulfilled in one word, in the statement, 'You shall love your neighbor as yourself.' But if you bite and devour one another, take care that you are not consumed by one another. You will be destroyed." Love is the fulfillment of the whole law of God. Thus you obey all of God's law if you love. And when we fail, we repent. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, the true church of God will repent of its sins. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, listen very carefully to the warnings of the Bible. You must receive the word of God with faith. Go to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. Verse 2. Listen to what it says. "For indeed we have had good news preached to us." The gospel is preached to you. "Just as they also," Now, if you read the whole Hebrews, it is talking about the Old Testament people. Old Testament people in the wilderness, Moses preached to them the gospel daily. The priests were teaching them God's word daily. So, not only you hear the word of God, but they heard the gospel also. But what happened to them? For indeed we have had good news preached to us, just as they also, but the word they heard did not profit them. They heard it, but it did not profit them, because it was not united by faith in those who heard. They just heard it. They did not believe. They did not do anything. It just come into one ear and go out to the other. It did not profit them. Don't let this happen to you, brothers and sisters. I beg you. You might come to church every week, you know, come to Bible study. But if you do not pay close attention and depend on God so that He calls you to believe, so that you will hear by faith, it's not going to benefit you. Oh, brothers and sisters, don't think it's just okay. Just live whatever you, however you want. Because you say God is on your side. That's what the Israelites said in the Old Testament. God is my God. He is my side. Yeah. Verse 7, he again fixes a certain day today, saying through David, after so long a time just has been said before, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. Oh, brothers and sisters, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart, repent of your sins, and turn around from that sinful ways. Repent and believe. Otherwise, you have no confidence. People who repent and believe, these are the ones whose sins are cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ, and who now wear the righteousness of Jesus Christ. The reality of hell is the forever abandonment of God. Jesus Christ has received that punishment of hell for us on the cross. The cross, the true Ichabod. And it was all for you. And if you really believe, repent. Brothers and sisters, repent. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, more and more repent of your sins. And more trust and believe in Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. And more love Him. And more have sweet fellowship with Him. Thus, you witness the fact that you are not the one who will be forever judged by God. Yes, brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, show to the whole world that you are not the one who will be judged by God. Repent and believe. Learn from what has happened in the past. Old Testament covenant people of God, they were completely judged by God. Listen to what Paul says. If God breaks the original branch, what makes you think that He will not break you? But only way that you will not be broken off is that you believe Jesus Christ and you worship Him and Him alone. Do not have anything before Him. Not the money, not your degrees, colleges, your business, your job, your wife, your husband, your children, your parents. You have nothing before God. But of course we're going to fail. We're going to sin. But whenever we do, we repent. Genuinely, truly repent. And do our best to turn around. And when we fail again, we repent again. Come back to the Bible and live according to the truth. These are warnings that God gave to the churches. These are warnings to the covenant people of God. And this is not to scare you. This is actually give you the confidence as you repent and believe and trust Jesus Christ. You actually have confidence because of these warnings. Oh, I hope His word benefits you rather than those Old Testament people who heard it but did not benefit them. I pray to God that He works in your hearts, that you will not harden your heart, but receive His word with joy and believe. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, you know, God does not beg you because He's not a beggar. And if you don't do what He says, you're the one who loses. But I beg you, repent and turn around from your sinful ways and believe. That way you will have confidence you are truly His son. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your word. And thank You for these warnings to Your churches. As we see the destruction of the Old Testament covenant of people, Israel, we pray that by Your work, by Your grace, we will learn that we will repent of our sins. Let us not be like Judah when she saw her sister sin. She went worse. Oh, Father, be with the churches today. As they see through Your word the destruction of the Old Testament covenant people, that by Your grace, Your churches will repent of their sinful ways, not be worse. Oh, Father, bless Your people. Bless Christ and heaven. And receive all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.